magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, August 24th, 2016. Hi, Pastor Jason Schiffo. Good to have you in the studio.
Hello, Radio Director Mark.
Oh, it's a glorious day. As I open up many of the programs, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When you gather here in the studios, it's always a special treat for me. I believe for many of our listeners. And what a high-octane week. I got my mom back to O'Hare last night. She may be tuned in today. She got to experience a week of radio ministry. She assisted with the newsletter assembly last Friday, which many of you have now received. Getting lots of feedback on that. And she got to attend various appointments or being dropped off while I did this or went to the Great News Radio Center and watched me put ceiling tiles up and got to see mulch being spread and all the wonderful things that happen around here. So it was fun having her for a week. And if she's up, it's 2 hours later there in Arizona. I'm sure she'll fondly remember many of the things and people. She appreciated your message on Sunday. I think you saw as she was walking out, she was like, that message was for me. I mean, how many times do you have someone share that message was for me, Pastor?
Sometimes, but you know, I never know. You know, sometimes I just think it must be for me.
Yeah. I referenced that on Monday and Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends. I had Pastor Joe Humrickhaus, and he recently authored the book, The Life of the Vine and the Soul of the Church, Seven Stewardships of Revival. And I was asking him, as I've asked other authors, was there a certain chapter that as he was writing it, it spoke to him, or somehow God revealed some conviction or something through it? Now, you have used as an example where there's been times you've recounted where in the midst of preaching a message that you've prepared for, you've thought through, you've prayed up, and as you're delivering it, seemingly the Holy Spirit will either bring conviction or new insights, and you're almost, in a sense, preaching to yourself, digesting like, wow, Lord, yes, yes. And you might well up with emotion because you know he's speaking to you, and yet you're also delivering this message to others. So anyways, I appreciate you being here in the studio and excited about the Great News Radio newsletter that went out. Many of you, hopefully you've read it, you're praying it up, you're seeing how you can get involved, and we'll announce a grand opening in the coming weeks. We're waiting on the Urbana City. Jim Gunther has to get back from Florida. That should happen tomorrow, and then we'll fill out that building permit, because to have that enclosed studio and storage and meeting area, you have to jump through some of those hoops to get that all authorized. We have the architectural drawings. In fact, if you go by Lincoln Square Mall and look in Unit 112, it's right near the food court, you'll see the architectural drawings of the studio and office space and storage. And so we look forward to how God will use that to expand his kingdom. But yeah, that was a huge week, I think, between the board meeting, praying it all up, getting the keys, signing the lease, and now moving forward. It was like, So we'll see how the coming days this week. Friday night, there's the Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry Banquet. There's also the start of the Sweet Corn Festival in Urbana. Mm. And so Saturday, I'm hoping to be at the Great News Radio Center in the mall, you know, maybe giving out tote bags or yard signs to any people that come by. So hopefully Saturday, I don't know, from 9 to 5, I'll probably be in our new center greeting people. So if you happen to be coming to the Sweet Corn Festival in downtown Urbana, stop in Lincoln Square Mall, look around the food court, and you'll see in one of the display windows our tote bags and Great News Radio yard signs. Mm. Stop in, say hi, but we'll have a formal grand opening probably a month or so. It's going to take a while to do some of the clean up the building, the getting it organized and set. But thank you, God, for that center and how our board unanimously pushed it forward. And now we anticipate him using it in unique ways, especially all the interviews. So I hope to have a lot of people come by, do some radio spots, do some radio announcements, and share your testimony with our listeners. Mm. Testimony, gosh, Ephesians are filled with it, 1 Peter is filled with it, this word that we have in front of us that's opened up is filled with testimonies and the recounting of God's unique work through the church. We've been in Acts for a couple years. I know you've been preaching out of 1 Peter, a great sermon message this past Sunday. Ephesians seems to be something that also God is speaking to your heart of late.
Well, I have an accountability thing that I do, and we read a book of the Bible every week before we get together. And so this past week it was Ephesians was the book of the Bible that we read together. And just as I read it, I mean, I was just blown away by Ephesians. And maybe it's just what Ephesians does in my heart. I'm not really sure, but Ephesians, you cannot help but read Ephesians and not have your sights elevated to Christ, not have your heart elevated. I mean, in the first chapter of Ephesians, it says in 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. And this, just this idea that God has predestined us. He's predetermined. He knew something that we didn't know. He had a course that we didn't understand. And that was that he was going to adopt us as sons and daughters. I mean, I think of, you know, what it means, and I don't know because, you know, particularly I didn't grow up without parents. I had them. But I can only imagine what a son or a daughter would feel when they're adopted into a family. And not only adopted into a family, but as this text here says, that the purpose was that there would be praise for the beloved. And so this adoption happens out of a deep and abiding sense of love. And I just can't imagine what it would be like for a child who doesn't have any parents to suddenly have the assurance of having parents and to be loved, and not just loved, but loved with a great love. And that's how Ephesians just starts out the gate. And then from there.
And I like that concept because I've heard of adoptive parents using this line that little Johnny, little Mary, you were chosen out of all the children. Yeah. We didn't just have you. We picked you out. Yeah. We adopted you where other children were just naturally born into a family. We chose you. You're that special, giving that child that understanding that they were picked out.
Yeah. Yeah, and God chose us. He predetermined before the foundations of the earth that he would choose us. And then verse 18, having the eyes of your heart enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Now, for some of you, you're like, gosh, you just read a lot. That's because there is no breaks here. In the original language, Ephesians 1 is this huge run-on sentence, because Paul can't stop talking about this. He is so excited. His sights are being lifted and elevated to God that he can't stop. He can't stop to put in a period or a comma. And for those of us who aren't good at grammar, we're like, thank you, Jesus.
Or those of us that have run-on statements.
Yeah, that we have problems with all of that. It's thank you, God. But here, Paul just cannot stop talking about what God has done. And then he shifts gears in chapter 2 to where we were. He said, you were once dead in your trespasses and sin, which you once walked. And this is important that he says, in which you once walked. The path that you once tread was a path of sinfulness, of self-indulgence. And he's saying that because of God now, you don't have to do that. I love, you have to connect to verse 1, that you once were dead in your sins and dead in your trespasses. You once walked in the pattern of the world. But then verse 4 says, but God. Mm-hmm. But God. I mean, I love that there's this but God. You know, that we were stuck in kind of this pattern and God intervened. But God, being rich in mercy, which means there is not an end to his mercy. His bank account is deeper than your sin because of the great love in which he loved us. This isn't just a love like we love. This is a great love that knows no bounds and knows no end. Mm. This is a love that goes to the cross in which he loved us. Now we know he loves us out of that great love and through that great mercy. This is the way we were adopted into the family. And then he just goes on that we were made alive in Christ. And then, you know, probably my favorite verse in all the Bible, by grace you have been saved through faith.
At least for today.
At least, well, no, this one's pretty much all the time. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Mm-hmm. This is not your own doing, but the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And so that it was nothing that we did and all that he did, that he gave us even the faith to believe in him. And then he says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand. And when I read that, as I was reading Ephesians a few times in preparation for my lunch that I had, it's this moment where God has prepared places beforehand. That means nowhere we go is a place that has not been prepared. If today is the day that the Lord has made, then that means that these are the places that the Lord has prepared for us. And so you're not just in McDonald's, you're not just at Target, you're not just at your job, but you're at a place that God has prepared beforehand, because he's authored every bit of what today is. And he's redeeming and reconciling the fallenness of today and the frustrations of today and the anxiety of today. Day. He's doing that. And he believes that you can be an instrumental part of that because you're his workmanship. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't make junk. And you're created in Christ Jesus, which means you've been recreated, reborn, renewed through Christ Jesus, that you have the eyes of Christ, and that you're drawing out of the bank account of love. You're drawing out of the bank account of mercy. And so I love this verse because it tells me that everywhere I go, first of all, he goes with me. Second of all, I go as his ambassador, his workmanship. I've got his fingerprints all over me. And that through Christ, I can do more than I can ask or imagine, more than I know. I mean, just think, you're created in the Christ who says, I have already overcome the world. And so if you take verses, if you take chapter 1 and 2, and you put them together, and you really believe them, there's no reason why you can't walk across the room and talk to somebody about who Jesus Christ is. There's no reason why you can't love somebody. There's no reason why you can't do what you have been called to do. It goes on in chapter 2.
Wait, let's camp a little more, because I think this is a word for everyone tuned
sure.
in. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's no one that's waking up today that can just be ho-hum about, well, I don't know sure. what I'm going to do today. I'm kind of bored. God has created for them some good works to do in advance. So he's got a plan. They just need to heed his call or walk in cadence with the Spirit's leading or say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to use me today, but I know your word says that you've created and prepared some things for me to do. I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be your ambassador. So they should be kind of attentive and expectant, if
well,
you will.
Well, here's the thing, is it's a choice. Because Psalm 118 says, today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And so today is the day that the Lord has made, that he has prepared things in advance today because he's created today. And then the verse says, I will rejoice and be glad mm-hmm. in it. It means that that's a decision that you make. Your decision is, will I be stuck in my own frustration and anxiety? Will I be wrapped up in all the things that are trying to weigh me down? Or will I acknowledge that this is the day that he's made, that there is more happening in today than I even know, and today should be so much worse if he wasn't in it. Mm. And that he believes, like when Jesus called Peter out of the boat, God believes that you can do it. You notice that when Peter got out of the boat, it wasn't that Jesus all of a sudden said, you can't do it, and Peter sunk, or all of a sudden Jesus' promise wasn't as solid as Peter thought, so he began to sink. It was the wind and it was the waves, it was the external things that caused Peter to begin to sink. Jesus believed he could do it because he wouldn't have called him out of the boat if he didn't believe that. That would be counter to the character of Christ. And so Jesus called him out believing that Peter could do the things that he called him to do. And listen, you have to make a choice, a definitive choice to say, I will follow Jesus and I will believe these things. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And I believe, now, you know, just singing that in my head, I believe that the hymn writer repeats those verses because he has to tell himself that. He has to say, no turning back, no turning back, because our inclination is to turn back. You know, it reminds me in Philippians, I believe it's 1:4 or 4:4, I'm not really sure. Paul says, rejoice, I say rejoice again. And so Paul is saying, rejoice, it's not enough, I have to remind myself again to rejoice. Because we so easily will lose our joy, we so easily will forget to follow Jesus, or we'll be too afraid to follow Jesus, or we'll forget that we are God's workmanship, that God has called us out to go to the places that he has prepared. He has something for you to do.
And don't we have to sometimes, it's like even in love, it's a determination or it's something with the will. You know, it's not always a feeling. We don't always feel in love. We don't always feel like we want to be obedient or do the right thing. But it's when we will, when we determine in our mind and heart that we can oftentimes overcome the feelings because we want to be lazy or whatever.
Yeah. And so look at, I think the primary motivation here, the primary understanding, this is why I believe that in the first three chapters of Ephesians, and we could go on, I mean, in chapter 2 and 13, it says you were once far off, but you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. In chapter 3 and verse 3, it says how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. Paul's saying God spoke to me and began to show me and talk to me about who Jesus Christ is. And then he says this great prayer in chapter 3 and verse 14, for this reason I bow on my knees before the Father, according to the riches of his glory. May he grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner being. He just keeps going through and he talks about all that God is as he's praying in here, to where he reaches a crescendo at the end of chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so the first three chapters of Ephesians is meant to lift our eyes, to lift our spirits, to lift our hearts, to strengthen our knees, to help us to lift our drooping arms, to worship and glorify God. To glorify God. And why? Because we're called to be his ambassadors. We're called to be light. He says in Ephesians 2, you once walked in the patterns of sin and trespass. But then in chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. The Bible says you used to walk in sin, but now you walk in love. And I think that's the deciding factor. If we know, if we believe that God is so for us, that he loves us with an everlasting love, that he loves us, as Ephesians said in chapter 2, with a great love, out of a great mercy. If we believe those things, then we'll be able to walk in love, and our love will overcome fear. Our love will overcome anxiety. It will overcome all those things, that we will see other people, those who don't know God or need to be encouraged in God, we'll see them as God sees them, and our love for them will take us over the boundary lines that we seem to set in our comfort zone. And so we'll move, we'll be imitators of God. Now listen, we can't love with the same kind of love that God loved, because it's difficult in our humanity. It's difficult as we wrestle between the old us and the new us. But as we imitate God, as we try to be like God, we can walk in a type of love that exceeds the love that we would have otherwise. And listen to how it says, be imitators of God as beloved children. You're only going to be able to do this if you really truly believe that you are a beloved child of God. If you don't believe that, if you think you're sort of loved, or you think you're only loved when you're good enough for God, like when you follow the rules and you go to church on Sunday and you do X, Y, and Z, if you only think that God loves you then you'll never be able to walk as a beloved child, because there'll always be conditions put on that love. I mean, just think about when we love people conditionally, when we say, well, I'll love them, but only if they do this, this, and this. That's not a real love. That's a kind of controlling love. And God has given us free will so that we might know that we are beloved children and that we are loved by him, and that we would be motivated by that kind of love. That we desire nothing more than to put on our Father's shoes, to crawl onto his lap, to walk alongside him, to hold his hand, and to say, we love you, Daddy. We love you. We love you, Father. And it's that kind of love that will motivate us to love other people, because I believe that. I really believe, and I'm trying to use the analogy of fathers and sons and fathers and daughters, but I do believe that when we hold the Father's hand, when we walk next to him, and we're so in love with him as beloved children, that he begins to point to us, and he says, see that work I got for you to do over there? You know, I think about sometimes with my son, well, not sometimes, but weekly. I mean, I have chores for him to do. I have things that I ask him to do. I have work that I have laid out beforehand for him to do, that he would walk in it, that he would be obedient, that he would do the things that I've asked him to do, not begrudgingly and angrily, like, you know, well, I'm only going to do it because you're going to pay me a dollar to do it as my allowance, but that he would do it because he knows that he's a loved and beloved part of our family, and he wants to be part of our family. He wants to be a part of what makes our family successful and the work of our family. And that's what God is saying here. God's saying, as you walk alongside me, as you imitate me, as you're a beloved child, you're going to see the work that we have for the family to do. You're going to see the work that needs to be done. And you're going to lovingly, you're going to do it because there's nothing else you would rather do. nothing else.
I love this. Verse 32 of chapter 4 and then into chapter 5, and maybe we can close out this as the gauntlet being dropped for our Great News Radio listeners. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Wow. Being imitators of God, like you mentioned, those ambassadors, first being those disciples of Jesus. And maybe for somebody tuned in, Jason, they've never even come to terms with that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Maybe they're like, well, how can I be an imitator of someone I don't know or don't even believe in? What would you say to that person that's kind of even struggling with these concepts of being imitators of God?
You know, Mark, that's a tough question, but this is what I would say to that person. There was a time in my life when I walked as a child, prideful, short-sighted, all about me. And when I called out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I realized that I was a beloved child, not simply a child who deals with things in childish ways, but I suddenly understood that I was beloved and loved in a way that I had never understood, in a way that defeated all of my brokenness, in a way that healed the woundedness that the world seemed to do. Suddenly all the messages of what the world said about me didn't matter anymore, because the one, the Father, was speaking to me. He was telling me what he believes about his beloved child. And that's what happens. When you call in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you reclaim not simply your identity, but you reclaim your identity in Christ as a beloved child, as someone who has been loved in such a way that God sent his only Son to save you. Sent him into the world to walk and to teach and to talk, to suffer and to be brutalized, to go to the cross, to shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And that same Son cries out from the cross, my beloved children. And that's what you are. You're a beloved child. No matter how you may have forgotten that, no matter how you may have walked away from that, you are beloved and loved. Call out on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. There's a hymn that I've just grown to love, a song that I've grown to love. Maybe if you're not in church, you don't know what a hymn is. But a hymn is a song that we sing in worship, and we, as we extend our voices and our love to God. There's a song that we sing, and it's called How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And in the end of the song, the final verse, it says this: I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. What should I gain from his reward? And then he says this honestly, I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Friends, I don't know how it all works itself out. I don't know how it all works. I do know this. The Bible is very clear that when you call on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he comes. When you call on him with a sincere heart, that he comes. For all those who are far off and who are at a distance, Christ comes. And how and what do we have to gain from this reward? I don't know exactly, but I know with all my heart that I once was dead. I once was in a kind of death. And now I'm alive. I once was blind, and now I see. I once was prideful, and now I walk in kind of a humility that sometimes I don't even understand. That I love people in a way that defeats my own personal selfishness. And friends, there is a kind of life that is different than the life that you may be running through right now, that you may be walking in. Maybe right now you're walking in pride and brokenness, and the relationships around you are not working, and everything seems to be falling apart. Friends, call out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful to come. He is faithful to answer. And go to a local church. Walk in the doors. Declare with your heart that you call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to the pastor and get yourself plugged into a community where you can begin to worship and lift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you can begin to say, I'll boast in nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified.
If you're someone that we're speaking to your heart right now, whether you're a senior saint, a believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ for many years, or someone that wants to know a little more about this Christian faith, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, let me encourage you to call this 800 number. There are great people that will answer your questions or pray with you or talk with you about having a relationship with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. That it is finished. I will not boast in anything, nor gifts, nor power, nor wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.